Okay, as you may have guessed from the handouts, this is not about Ebenezer today. It's an old chayiv. Many years ago, Aaron will tell you, probably 6 years ago, right before the pandemic, we learned Hilchos Yayin Nesach. Not all of it, but most of the important simanim, Kochav Gimel, Chav Gadalit. And then I had said I'm going to try to arrange a trip to the winery. They only squeeze grapes in basically Tishrei and Cheshvan because the grapes become, you can't squeeze grapes except after they grow and they're harvested. And the harvesting season is the end of August, September, maybe part of October, basically about 2 months a year. And if a person wants to see the way things work, you have to go during that period of time. And Chomayid, I went with two of my boys and my son-in-law, and we made a trip up to the Kedem Winery in upstate. And what I'd like to do really is chazer the halachas, these two pages, of Hilchos Yayin Nesach that are negeyat us bizmaneinu, and tell you about some extraordinary chidushin that came our way, and I have a little bit of show and tell that I brought along as well. I want to do first the background, just the background of how grapes grow, which is very negeh lahalacha, and the way they're harvested. Now I have to tell you that in this Kedem Winery, it's all from Yidden. The whole staff is from Yidden, and there's no shaila of halacha there, except to learn the halachas. But one thing I'll tell you for sure, when you learn the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch, it's nothing like what actually happens today in the places that they squeeze the grapes. And I'll explain. First, let's just talk about growing grapes. Okay, the way grapes grow. Is basically a two-step process. When grapes first grow, they become like little berries. They're not edible. They're very acidy, not sweet at all. And that takes between 1 and 2 months, the first growth of the grape. And I have here one or two. I have a sort to pick out there, but I'll show you what they look like. Chazal call that baiser. Beizvav samach reish. Baiser is a non-grape grape. The Gemara says that if you squeeze baiser, the drink is a shahakal. If it's drinkable, it's very acidy and very tart. And when grapes first grow, they're all green. They don't have their color yet. And they have no sugar, almost no sugar in them. That's the first stage of their growing. And now nobody picks that at that stage. Because I'll say that if somebody in Cheska Sabatim, if somebody's in a field and he picks the grapes baiser, it's not a chazaka. Like hizik the masiki inchi. It's not a normal way. It's the way a ganav goes into a vineyard. It's not the way normal people go. Now, part of the miracles of the Bria, and we'll see, this is these two steps are important to understand for various halachas. It grows first as baiser, as a hard, it doesn't even pick off easily off the stem. It's like sort of stuck to the stem. Not quite a knot. I think I have one or two here. I tried to pick them out, but I'm not going to look for it at the moment. And then it goes through the ripening stage, which by grapes is called veraison. It goes through a stage when it's still on the vine where the miracles of the Bria is that the berry changes into a grape. What happens in the grape is that the acid turns into sugar. How does acid turn into sugar? It's all from the sunlight on the bark and the vines and the leaves of the tree, which are all carbohydrates. It's wood. And carbohydrates, as you know, turn into sugar, which is one of the reasons they don't want you eating a lot of carbs today, is because it turns into sugar in the bloodstream. But it turns into sugar in the so-called bloodstream of the tree also. And the sun miraculously shines. If you were to pull all the leaves off the vines, it would affect the grape. The grape wouldn't turn as sweet because the sunlight works on the vines and everything to feed the grape whatever it is that primarily changes the acid to sugar. The acid turns into sugar, and that sugar is measured. They measure the sugar of the grape. Now, also, it's an incredible thing. The way they measure the sugar of the grape, the measurement, like you have degrees for temperature, the measurement for the sugar level of grapes is called Brix, B-R-I-X, Brix. In other words, as it turns to sugar, they take a drop of the sugar, and they put it into a device that measures it, and it could be 1 Brix, 2 Brix, 3 Brix. Generally speaking, to make wine, it's got to be 21 Brix. To get wine, which is like 12% alcohol, it's got to be in the 20s.
Is it the warmer, the more
now,
Brix?
Now he'll understand that California wines are the high alcohol wines, and New York wines are the low alcohol wines. The place wherever there's more sunlight is where these things turn into sugar the most. Now, so you have to know. There's two steps. There's the berry, which is acidity. Then the ripening, where it turns into sugar. Then it's picked. It's squeezed. You can't get wine out of grapes. You can only get grape juice out of grapes. Nobody can squeeze a grape and get wine except for Noach, right? Noach was able to do it somehow in this week's parasha. But nobody else. When you get grape juice, it's full of sugar. As a matter of fact, the older Mr. Herzog told me, we were talking on the phone about the grape juice. He says, anybody who drinks 4 cases of grape juice at the Seder is the equivalent of 120 sugar cubes. Why would anybody drink 4 cups of grape juice? That's what he said. And I don't know if he meant the Chazei Nishishir or Ramayishishir. He says, like 120 sugar cubes. Who would take 120 sugar cubes? The grape juice is full of sugar. Fermentation is nachamol in the miracles of the Bria. Fermentation takes place through yeast. Yeast are living organisms. And these living organisms are really, in a microscopic level, they eat the sugar and excrete the alcohol. We call it, they change the sugar to alcohol. The longer you let it ferment, the more the sugar will turn to alcohol. If you want a wine with zero sugar, it's going to be higher alcohol. People who are diabetics, anybody who has to have low sugar, drinks a dry wine. A dry wine is a high alcohol wine, where all the sugar has turned into alcohol. So they have a wine called Kedem Estates. Kedem Estates is a New York State wine, which doesn't have as much sunlight as the other places it grows, so that the amount of sugar in it is minimal. And Kedem Estates, even when it fully, all the sugar turns into alcohol, it only hits 8%. So diabetics don't want a lot of alcohol, so Kedem Estates is an option for them, because it has, they don't want the sugar, so they have to have dry wine. Dry wine is 13-14%. So that's a wine that's an 8% wine. So this is the three steps. 2 steps on the vine. It grows into a berry, which is baiser. The berry changes into a grape, which is squeezed for grape juice. And the third step is in the fermentation process. What we saw in this one place, they had 100 vats that were fermenting wine, and each one holds 20,000 gallons. Do the math. It's not a place you want to get a leak. You know, like they have about 2 million gallons in the place.
10 tons.
And it's not weight. It's fine. 20,000 gallons times 100. And that's the Now that's the process, the natural process by which it changes. Agav, as a matter of halacha, there's a hider to use a wine which doesn't have sugar added to it. The Rambam Shita is that wine which has other things added for taste is posel mizbeach and doesn't make a nesach and is not good for kiddush. The Rambam Shita is that wine has to be pure wine, and that's the Shita of Rambam. We don't pass like the Rambam, but it's a hider to do like the Rambam. Now, only New York State wines. In California, it's illegal to add sugar to wine and call it wine. Because in California, there's enough natural sugar, they never have to add sugar. In New York State, there are some wines that have sugar added. The cream, the ones that are cream, malaga, cream, not going to write sugar. Remember when we were kids, they had sugar crisp? There's no sugar crisp. Now it's honey crisp. Same sugar, but it's honey crisp. So you don't want to call it sugar added. You call it cream, which is a more pleasant name. That's 100% kosher. But if you want to be mahadir, you use something that doesn't have sugar added. There's a lot available out there that's low alcohol, but they tend to be sweeter. The Rashi wine, for example, a little sweeter because the fermentation is stopped at 5.5%. And this is basically what takes place. This is the background of the way grapes grow, and there's more in the manufacture of wine, but that's not today's discussion. Today's discussion is Hilchis Yayin Nesach. When do things turn into Yayin Nesach, and when not? I have to tell you, about a dozen years ago, I spoke to Rebelski to get a rundown of how things are made. It's already changed in many ways. At that time, I described what he described with dump trucks, but the thing is this. At what point does a guy adding, touching it, aser? At what point? If a guy touches grapes, it doesn't become Yayin Nesach. And when I say Yayin Nesach, I mean Stam Yayin, what we call Yayin Nesach. But at that point, at what point does it become Yayin Nesach? So here is where it was amazing to me. The Gemara, the Shulchan Aruch, the Rishayim, Dachrayim, they all describe a wine press this way. You'll remember from the Gemara. There's a high platform on which the grapes are placed, even a ground level platform. And then there's a heavy beam, right? Because always talk about a beam that presses down on it, and a kaira that presses down. It's just if a guy can press it down, if a yid can press it down, you press it down. And there's a madrain. I always picture like a sliding pond that the wine, the grape juice comes running down this sliding pond into the gas, into the hole in the ground usually. It doesn't have to be a hole in the ground, it could be a vat, where it runs down into there. That's called Hamshacha. Hamshacha is when it runs down. And Chazal say, the Gemara says, and Shulchan Aruch basically says, that Hamshacha is when it gets a dinyayin. The Gemara says in Avodah Zarah Nun Hamayamid Beis, my emissai is a nikri yayin. It says kivan shehischil lihimashech, when it started to run down, when it started to be separated. That's for sure. And it's when it runs out as wine, for sure. There's machlekes the Rashi and Tosfos. If in the pile somebody pushes aside the pulp and gets a pool of grape juice, whether that's hamshacha, whether it has to run down. It's a chluki deis about that. The Chasam Sofer has a tshuva. They had all the grapes in this pile. And you understand that it gets grape juice in it right away. It's just sitting there for a while. A guy came, he took a ladle, and he pressed it down to, like you have a chicken soup, right? He puts a ladle just to get the liquid out. He puts it down just to get out one cup of grape juice he wanted to drink. So whether that's Hamshacha itself or not, Rashi, according to Rashi, that's Hamshacha. The Shulchan Aruch is like Rashi.
Why should not be Hamzah Khan?
So the lumnus I can't get into. The question is whether it has to run out. Places it has to run out of the pile. Zero to do with the way things are today. So I want to describe to you what I saw. The pictures here should be helpful to you. The first set of pictures, which I don't have, is the one with the forklift truck that you do have. Okay, I remember it. I saw it. Okay, the way it comes is in a container, like you see, a long flatbed truck comes with a dozen of these containers, and as long as they're in the container, they're grapes. Even though the grapes have some there's grape juice, anytime you're going to put 100 pounds of grapes or 200 pounds of grapes in something, you can have grape juice on the bottom. There's no shaila, but still there's no hamshacha. Right now it comes from the place where it's picked, and you don't need yidden there. They're grapes in these containers. Now the shaila has to do with the pouring of the grapes in the container. Now I have here five pictures. I actually have a video of it, but I don't know, it wasn't for me because she asked to set up the video screen and show it. So I just took these five still pictures from it. As you can see, the driver is a from a yid. He's got a chassidish yid driving the forklift truck. So it shouldn't be a shaila. The question is, when they want to use Welch's or some other company in Slavdavka from Yid, whether this itself is a problem. Now, Dina de Gemara, what's he doing? Dumping grapes. It should be nothing. And here's where the shaila comes in. As there's this big outdoor container. This container has in it a corkscrew-type device that turns. And what it does by turning is it pushes the grapes down the line of this long container, and it ends up, we'll see in a minute, on the second side in a destemmer, which I'll describe to you in a minute. Now here, he takes it, he puts it over this large receptacle, and as you can see, he pours it out. Now in the third picture on the page where he's pouring the grapes. The next picture you could see, if you look carefully, after he pours the grapes, grape juice comes out as well. In other words, first you see bunches of grapes coming out. At the end of the pouring, there is grape juice on the bottom of the container. And I'm calling it grape juice. The question is if Halacha calls it grape juice. There's no Hamshacha yet. And the grape juice gets poured in as well. Now what's fascinating is the grapes are sticky. They stick to the container. In the fifth picture, there's a water spray that actually sprays to clear out the residue in the container, which really means there is some water in the wine or in the grape juice. It's minimal. It's very minimal. I'm not going to get to it today. If anything, it creates a kula, not a chumra, a maila, not a chesaron. But there is some water in the grape juice because of this spritzer that spritzes and cleans out and gets the last grapes to make their way into the container. Now, the first shaila, and this Rabelski told me that the place can deal with, is whether this pouring gives it a shame yayin or not. Whether the pouring gives it a shame yayin. There are two considerations. The second one is a taz, which I'll get to later. But the first is whether this constitutes a hamshacha. Pashtus, it's simple, it's not a hamshacha, because it's the whole Mishka Babel being poured in. It's not separating the wine from the grapes. And here's where it gets fascinating. On the second side, you see the container. If you could see, this is the same long container on the first side. It makes its way down. Part of the turning of this thing is to crush it a little as it goes. And it falls into a small, relatively, it's pretty big, but it's a small metal container. And it goes up this chute into the machine on the right in the picture. This machine is called the destemmer. A destemmer, it removes the stems from the grape. How exactly the science of it, I don't know. It removes it. The second line shows the grapes falling into the bottom of the destemmer. Now, I don't know if you could see it. The first picture shows them coming down, and the second shows what it looks like inside. It's a mush of broken up grapes, really. And these grapes now go into the plant. On the bottom, it shows what comes out of the destemmer. What comes out of the destemmer is, guess what?
Stems.
Yeah, pretty good. The stems. I mean, why else would you have a destemmer? Now, comes out stem, and not only stems. What comes out are the baisa grapes, the grapes that didn't change into... Now, it was very hard. That's what happens in my hand there. Trying to pick out some that are whole. They're mostly all broken up at that stage. It's very, very hard. Now, these are all Concord grapes. Just to give you an idea of what Baisa looks like. Originally, they're green. I'm sorry, you can't see. Originally, they're very green. And this is a good example. I'll pass it around. If you don't mind getting your hands a little wet. Of the way it looks when it first grows. For whatever reason, this grape didn't go through the ripening process. This is the berry. It's green, it's hard, it doesn't feel like a grape. And it doesn't pull off. When you buy grapes, they come off the stem easily. This is like aduk to the stem, it's stuck to the stem. Now this is what Chazal meant when they described Baisa. This is the way they grow, and when they grow, they're totally not edible. If you wanted to eat one of these, you would not make a Bera Pri Ha'etz, and if you squeezed it, you would not make a Bera Pri Ha'gafen. But this is what I was able to get off. There's probably another one here, another few. And this is the way they are. This is a little later. This one had a little bit of ripening. So it's still sort of stuck to the stem, but it already started to turn to a Concord grape. You can see it's starting. It's a mixture of the green and a little bit of red in it. And that's really the process. Now, I want to talk about this afterwards. You can pass it around maybe with a tissue for those who are squeamish about getting grape juice. It's not even grape juice. It's Baisa juice on their fingers. But, okay, this is Baisa. Why? Because if you eat Baisa, your lips pucker. They're very sour. They're very, very sour. They're very acidy. And that's what Baisa is. Now, again, there's what to talk about to describe Dine Baisa, but it's for a different time. Thank you. You got it back. Now, this is what happens. Once it gets past here, now, I had an Einish this morning. I pushed off Reb David, and then the machine stopped working properly because I told him I was in a rush. So what I basically did is just talk, instead of making individual pictures, took a panel of pictures that had been taken. I want to explain to you, the world changed totally. We need a Rav Moshe to paskin. If anything, in my opinion, it's more kuladik, not more chumradik. I shouldn't say that. It depends how you look at it. I'll tell you what happens. After it goes here, from the big container to the destemmer, there's a pipe on the bottom. The grape juice in the big container goes down the pipe separately. It doesn't go through the destemmer. In other words, there's grape juice separated in that first step. When they pour it in, grape juice comes out and gets separated. Now, a person can argue, that's Hamshacha. That's Hamshacha. And from now on, you got a problem the whole way through. If you have inside, from there it goes indoors. You could argue that should be an issue. Now, what happens is it goes down into a pipe. Inside, it goes into a gigantic container where the grape juice gets mixed back with the grapes. They want the grape juice in the grapes. What they do today, as opposed to Chazal's time, they have a blade very rapidly spinning. They get as much of the grape to break up and help turn into the grape juice. Not like once upon a time, they squeezed it, and whatever you got, you got. As a matter of fact, in the time of Chazal, they used to let the grapes rot for a while. If you ever left an apple in the fridge during the summer, and you come back after the summer, what do you get? You get apple that's turned mostly into juice. In time of Chazal, grapes and olives were allowed to rot a little. Now, if they rot too much, it gets ruined. So the Mishnah says, on Chol Moed, you're allowed to turn it over. Because the bottom is rotting more, it's going to get spoiled. You want to turn it over. The bottom now is exposed to the air, and the bottom, so it shouldn't get ruined.
What happens to the skin?
And then they squeeze it. What happens to most of the skin is that it ends up being part of the grape. Now, first Shaila Halacha, after this big machine, Yid pours it in, it comes out again. In Kedem, it's all Yidden, it's not a Shaila. When you're talking about elsewhere, is that Hamshacha, when it comes into the destemmer, and this big container has a sieve on the bottom, the grape just falls through and goes out separately. Is that called Hamshacha or not? Now, the Taina is that it's not Hamshacha, because even though it's separated, it's not separated to be used as grape juice. It's put together back into the whole mush, and it's just separated for the purpose of going through the destemmer. But then it all goes back together into the container. Now, if from there it goes into big vats, where it sits, I don't remember exactly, I think an hour and 10 minutes, these big vats warm it up a little bit. They can't warm it up too much, they're going to kill the natural enzymes that are there. It warms it a little, and it's spinning. I opened up one of the covers, it's spinning very rapidly, and basically what it's doing is turning the grape, the pulp, everything, except the seeds. You see the seeds spinning around. Everything else, most of everything else, turns into part of the grape juice. It all becomes a part of the grape juice. Now, that's in building number one. Building number one has it. And like I said, it's an hour and change that it's there. I think different grapes, different amount of time. From there, it goes to building number two. And there they have what Beloshin B'nei Adam is called the wine press. Nothing like what any of us would ever imagine from Chazal. The wine press is the picture and the panel of pictures. The wine press, you happen to see my son and son-in-law on the ladder. I was not able to get the picture of me on the ladder, which is earlier in the panel, but it's called the wine press. I'll tell you what I'm looking at in my hands. I'm trying to figure out what's going on here.
Related to Herzog?
What? They're not related. I mean, maybe distantly. What they call the wine press is not a press. There's no weight pressing down. What it is this large container. Compared to the vats, it's not so large. And in it, it has that, like I say, a corkscrew-type device. That corkscrew-type device pushes everything that falls in. You can see what falls in is still pulpy. There's still grape in it. It pours out as a liquid. If you look at the spout, it comes out as mostly liquid. However, you could see from the picture, it's still pulpy. It pushes it down to the end. And at the end, it comes out through a sifter, through a big filter-like. And there, the grape juice comes out. And from there, they consider that Hamshacha. And it goes into the pasteurization machines and everything else that's not Negatos. There, it's definitely Hamshacha. The question that you need Paiskim to decide is whether this grape juice has a din hamshacha before it falls into what they're calling the press. It's not Chazal's press. It's basically a machine it's basically Chazal kula garusni, a sifter. Because this machine, the breaking up of it and the dissolving of it already took place before. And then it gets pushed out and it goes further. And we need today all Hasherim assume that this is the press, and Hamshacha is when it leaves that part of the machine. I'm not an expert, it's the first time I was ever exposed to this type of thing, but it would seem like a nidain. If I could go back afterwards, I would have put a cup or a pitcher where it comes into what they call the press and catch some, and see what we would call that grape juice. It doesn't seem that the pits are there anymore. But there is some pulp there. I don't know how thick it is, how not. I don't know if it's like grape juice or pulp, or if it's more. So, I don't know.
What color comes out? Color.
This is Concord. It comes out the color of Concord grape. All grapes get their color from the peel. The peel of the grapes. From the peel. If they... To make white grape juice, they remove the peel of the grape and they do it that way.
What happens to the peels in the because part of the wine?
Some of it because part of the wine, and some of it at the end of this press, every, I don't know, I didn't time it, every 45 minutes or an hour, they stop the press and they clean out the dirt. It goes into a truck right outside, and whatever they do with it, they can't.
Don't you need the color of the
fermentation? No, there's plenty of peel in it. It already has the color at this point. It's already warmed up and it's already there. Now, there's a lot to talk about. I'd like to talk about one of the topics, which was a chiddush to me. There's an ingredient called cream of tartar or tartaric acid. Now, it's a pretty common ingredient. It's used in baking. It's used in certain sodas. Sprite Zero came out. There was a little bit of tumult in the kashrus world about whether to consider it kosher. It has tartaric acid. It has this. Thank you. And I make a shahakal and eat it, but I don't even know if it's edible. I have no idea. But if you want to see what it looks like. And it's used today. Sour candies are very popular. It's very sour. Let me tell you what tartaric acid is. I'll tell you the way Chazal described it and the way I saw it. It's right, what they have. Chazal talked about something called Weinstein. If your name is Weinstein, you probably come from a wine company family. Whether they'll make you any money these days, I doubt it. But there's something that Chazal called Weinstein. What's Weinstein? It's the stein, the stones of the wine. Where do you have stones in wine? If the fermentation, you pour out the wine, you scrape the walls, the sediment tends to settle, not only in the bottom but on the sides. And after the fermentation is over, it could be a short period of time, a long period of time, Chazal described the pulling out of the Weinstein and the using of the Weinstein. Let me see where it is in Shulchan Aruch. And the Shulchan Aruch talks about it in Kuf Chav Gimel right in the beginning. And okay, Shulchan Aruch talks about this Weinstein. And this is the shaila that the kashrus organizations deal with. Okay, Weinstein is Kuf Chav Gimel Sif Tezayim. It talks about, now, I'm not talking about kedems. Kedems is certainly kosher. The whole thing is Shel Yisrael. There's no question. The question is whether Weinstein is a kosher ingredient if you get it from Welch's. If you get it from some, there are no other ingredients. All it is grapes. It's only Yayin Nesach Shaila. So it says in Shulchan Aruch, it says in Kuf Chav Gimel Sif Tezayin, it talks about this Weinstein, and it says a kula. Yesh misha oimer shetamsis yayin anikma shal defane yachavis vakankanim nogu boy heter yanoig heter la'acha yud beis chaydish. If you let it stand for 12 months, what do you gain by letting it stand for 12 months? So the reason is that if the 12 months, we say all the wine that's in it evaporated, and you're left only with the sediment, you're left only with the part of the grape. That's called the Weinstein. Now here, I have I would take it out, you can get your hands wet. This is the Weinstein of today. Now, if you know someone named Weinstein, to send it to them as a gift. This Weinstein. How did I get Weinstein? They weren't fermented yet. Today, they take this from the first series of containers. In building number one, before it goes to the press, I told you it's in the machine for about an hour. Concord is an hour and 10 minutes. It could be different grapes, different amount of times. And the blade spins. They're very tall containers. You go up on a raised platform to be able to look inside and see what it is. They hold, I don't know how many 1,000 gallons. And there it breaks up. When it breaks up on the bottom, this same Weinstein stuff, this is what they use for tartaric acid, is tartaric acid and cream of tartar is the same thing. Cream of tartar has the carbonate added to it to offset some of the acidy taste. It's very acidy. That's why sour candies, sweet tarts, remember sweet tarts? They used to be kosher. Because they were kosher. And suddenly they became treif forever. Why did they become treif? Because they add to it, and there may be other reasons too, but they started adding this tartaric acid to make it, today it's in style. Sour tastes is in style. And this gives it a little bit of a sour taste. Now what it is, if you look at it, it's very similar to sand. If you go to the beach and you mix water with sand, you know you get this type of mushy mix. And you can see, if you look at it, if you let it dry, you spray and dry it for 12 months, you're going to end up with just powder. Because what it is are little pieces. It's already broken up. It went through the machine that heats, warms it and breaks it up. And it becomes into this type of a mush. So this is the Weinstein. Today, nobody can wait 12 months. Nobody has patience today. Certainly not in industry. So what they do today is the fire. I'm going to read to you from one of the kashrus organizations. And this is the mahalach of all the American kashrus organizations. It's just so it's easy for them to have this Weinstein from Jewish sources. This is taken from the Chicago Rabbinical Council. It's identical, the OU also, if you do tartaric acid OU, you get an identical psak. Question. I read that tartaric acid is made from wine or grape juice. Does that mean that kosher tartaric acid has to be made from kosher wine? Legitimate question. Answer. Shulchan Aruch Yeridei 123:16, that's what I read to you, rules that deposits which collect on the inside walls of barrels used for non-kosher wine are permitted if the deposits dried on the barrel wall for 12 months. They're allowed to dry on the barrel wall, or obviously in the sun would be good too, for 12 months. The reason for the leniency is that after the deposits dry for a long time, they're treated like dirt and are permitted. In fact, entirely accurate. They're not dirt, but they're free of wine. They're like sand. Probably it's a mistranslation of the Hebrew. Not dirt, but like sand. They're like pieces of solids and are permitted even though the source of the deposits is a non-kosher wine. You can taste it? I think so. Just very sour. It is these deposits which are used to produce tartaric acid. And they are therefore kosher even when produced from non-kosher wine. However, nowadays, these materials are not made from 12-month-old deposits. Rather, from grape-based items which have been mechanically dried over the course of a few hours. Some rule that the leniency only applies to the exact case discussed in Shulchan Aruch, and therefore do not consider mechanically dried tartaric acid to be kosher, unless it's made from kosher wine. However, the CRC and most American hashgachas follow the lenient approach, which argues that the product is kosher as long as the mechanical drying mimics the 12-month air drying by moisture-reducing qualities of the 12-month air drying.
How do you know that
it's so, what the OU site says is that Rabelsky compared the 12-month drying tartaric acid with the mechanically dried. He said mechanically dried are more dry than the 12-month dry. So it certainly should be, it's not a chayk of 12 months, it's not like Shurin Alakshin the Sinai. It's a physical fact that they dry, and that's why. And Svaris, for their ices, I don't know if you'd say Svaris, it's a drabana. And therefore, it's considered to be okay. So this is now. It's not a tampogam. There's nothing to do with 12 months tampogam. It has to do with drying. tastes a little like sweet tarts. A little bit, except it's more sandy.
It's not like the bones you can make with the gelatin.
What?
It's not like the bones make some gelatin.
No. It's not. They put here in parentheses that this kula only applies to yayin, doesn't apply to other isurim. They mean gelatin.
Is it a shahakal?
No. I'm not sure of the shahakal. It's not more than a shahakal. There's a nechal ayadeyat chak a shahakal. If it's ain't a nechal ayadeyat chak, it's not. It's interesting to get a little taste of it, but it leaves a sandy feeling in your throat. I don't know that we want to have it. Oh, so that's my horror.
That makes it wine.
Is that today it might be better. Now, I don't know if every plant is similar to here. I assume it's similar. I told you the tartaric acid, the kedem cells, is taken from the first vat. That is, the vat, the hour and 10 minute vat in the first building. Now, when it comes into the building, there's actually a very first vat where it just mixes the grape juice and the pieces. But the vat, which stands for the hour and 10 minutes and warms it up, that we're considering kaidim hamshacha. It certainly is. You open the top, you see it spinning like a washing machine, faster. You see all the pits, you know, it's Concord, and then you see the pits, which by now are white, and they're spinning in there. It's definitely Kaidim Hamshacha in the first vats. They take the tartaric acid from those vats. Now, I don't know why none of the Paiskim that from the different Asherim mentioned that this would seem to be an absolute kula. Because in the eyes of Halacha, our tartaric acid is made not from wine. It's made from pre-Hamshacha wine, which has a din of grapes. It's really made from grapes, which are kosher, and not from wine. So I don't know why. I'm going to try to inquire. It's always tricky when you inquire, they're afraid you're coming with a chumra. I'm coming with a chumra, I'm coming with a kula. That l'chaira, today's tartaric acid, if it's taken this way, should be much more kulindic. It should be something that's really okay. So, basically, sort of to sum up, the way it's made, it's fascinating. It's not like the squeezing of Chazal. We need the Gedolei HaPaiskim to tell us what's called Havshacha in today's world. Matter of fact, Har Tzvi has a tshuva about a machine where you put grapes in one end, no human being touches it, it comes out the other side as Yayim Mevushel, a grape juice Mevushel. In other words, no human being touches it until after Bishul. It's a machine that's fully automated. It destems it, it squeezes it, whatever they call squeezing today, it filters it, it cooks it, which is the pasteurization. So why do you need a Jew? You just maybe to pour it in. But after that, there's nobody touching it along the way. The question is whether that's mutter without Gedolei HaPaiskim to say. It's a very hard to say. Excuse me, I want to add one more thing. There's a lot lahalacha from this. I just felt to share it. I had mentioned the shaila of light grape juice, which is really how I started to be involved, to try to understand what is light grape juice. Light grape juice is made, a lot of people buy light grape juice and they see it says on it 50% water. Uh-huh, no wonder it's light grape. I can also mix it with water, right? No, that's not what it's about. The light grape juice is made from low Brix grapes. I told you, when a grape grows, it's these berries. No sugar. As it sits on the vine, it turns into grape juice. It turns into sugar. Now, some diabetics don't want sugar, so the only option is high alcohol. You have to wait till the sugar turns to alcohol. But some people don't like high alcohol, and they can't take the sugar. So really, as a chesed, they created light grape juice. Light grape juice is made from low Brix grapes. And the low Brix grapes it doesn't have much sugar in it. And there, they squeeze it. It's very Weinstein-like. It's very sour. The water is mixed in just to be able to be mashbiach the tam, because otherwise it would be too sour to drink. And we know Chazal and Moizig, even majority water. So water is mixed in and it's sold. Now I mentioned here before Pesach that somebody who's a diabetic and needs it, so use a gesundheit. But that for somebody who's well, it's best to avoid the shyness of light grape juice. What's the shyness? The shyness is, at what point is it baiser? They make it from 11, 12, or 13 brix grapes. And I had spoken a while ago to them about this, because on the federal guidelines for table grapes, it has to be 12 and a half brix, which would seem to be that at least federal guidelines is that 11, 12, before 12 and a half, is still baiser. But lot after, it could be the federal guideline just to have it a quality grape. It could be it's a grape. So they sent me a bag of 11 brix grapes and a bag of 13 brix grapes. 13 brix are certainly grapes. So it's very hard to tell. But I did, I happened to be, when they sent it to me, that Leil Shabbos Suda, I had 7 yeshiva bachrim that were eating by us. And I put down the 2 bunches of grapes. That was our dessert. And I asked them, close your eyes and eat each one and tell me if you feel it's a grape. The 13 brix, everyone felt was a grape. The first person who ate the 11 brix grapes said, gushers. I never ate gushers, but apparently when you eat a gusher, something comes gushing out. A sour, I don't know, it's sour or sweet? It must be sour. So gushers. It's somewhere in that in-between stage. Now, I don't feel bad, because Tysus says, the Bali Tysus were in the grape business. That's why they say, that's why there are long Rashis and long Tysus in an Avodah Zarah, all about grapes. Because Rashi and Tysus were in the business. Tysus says, Rabbeinu Meshulam, one of Rabbeinu Tam's cousins, he lets the guy handle them when they're baiser. He said, they're baiser, the guy can do whatever he wants with them, it doesn't matter. Rabbeinu Tam didn't like it. Tam said, Eino Nubikiyam Mahu Baiser. Very hard to know when is it become ois baiser and when is it baiser. So you have a kashrus machloikis and two asherim going back to the time of the Bali Taisus, right? Some Bali Taisus said it's kosher, it's baiser, and it's not yayin nesach, and you can ferment it. And Rabbeinu Tam said, Eino Nubikiyam. So I don't feel bad saying Eino Nubikiyam. Now, Bishas Hadchak, by the Rabbanon, Yosemich Anashita, that's the klal of Psak. Somebody who's a diabetic and has to like grape juice, they are paiskim. These paiskim are the ones really involved with wine. Well, it's not baiser. Those, it certainly looks much more like a grape than the baiser I'm showing you. But there are paiskim who can question it. And therefore, it's really for a Shas HaTchak. Somebody in my house on Shabbos, we have a lot of small grape juice bottles. So I came home late from Shul this Shabbos. So one of the Bachrim was over for the Suda to make Kiddush early. Then he showed me he made a light grape juice. I told him, it's a Kiddush. Light grape juice is a drink. It's a Chamar Medina. It's a delicious drink. The question is, L'chatchila, if you want to make a Bar Pregafen and have wine, is it Shahakal? Is it Bar Pregafen? That's the only Shaila Baiser. It's no question that it's a Mashka. It's Rei L'shtia. It's certainly a Mashka. The question is that grape juice made from baiser is shakal, not bar pregafen. It's not the mahudra of yayin. That's all shakal. So what?
The question: what was doing in the house?
Like all the small bottles of grape juice from Shlach Manis, it was still in the house. What?
For the seder.
So again, light grape juice. I repeat, there seem to be different opinions on the matter. Rabbeinu Tam said, "Ein ono bikiyim." A healthy person should avoid shilas. Why take light grape juice? Take regular grape juice. Mix it with water if you want. You don't have to get into the shilas.
He made the wrong,
but it's true. So it happens to be, as you know, when you make a bracha, as long as it's true, it's not a lie, you yaitza b'di'evet. If you make a bracha, like if you make mezainis on an apple, you yaitza b'di'evet. Why? It's mezain. It's emes, that is mean name is Zionist, that is a type of Muslim.
If you mix the light grape juice with wine, is that in proportion?
If you take half wine and half like grape juice, it's no worse than half wine and half water. Of course, it's the same.
Third wine.
See, well, I don't know that. Rabbi Feinstein writes you shouldn't mix more than 50-50. I think in the occult ID, Bisman Hazeh, you shouldn't mix more. It's a separate discussion why they were moisik it so much, but it's a little late. Anyway, I wanted to share this with you, and again, it's not a Shabbat Kedem, which is all forbidden. But they told me when I'm in California, I should visit the California winery, and there it's something to see. So someone will make a chasen in California. What?